Wonder, could we turn in our Bibles to the book of Genesis chapter 13 again? And we're going to read from verse 1 of the chapter, Genesis chapter 13, and beginning our reading at verse 1. Genesis 13 and verse 1. And Abram went up out of Egypt, he and his wife, and all that he had, and Lot with him, into the south. And Abram was very rich in cattle, in silver and in gold. And he went on his journeys from the south even to Bethel, unto the place where his tent had been at the beginning, between Bethel and Hai, unto the place of the altar which he had made there at the first. And there Abram called on the name of the Lord. And Lot also, which went with Abram, had flocks and herds and tents. And the land was not able to bear them, that they might dwell together, for their substance was great, so that they could not dwell together. And there was a strife between the herdmen of Abram's cattle and the herdmen of Lot's cattle, and the Canaanite and the Perizzite dwelled then in the land. And Abram said unto Lot, Let there be no strife, I pray thee, between me and thee, and between my herdmen and thy herdmen, for we be brethren. Is not the whole land before thee? Separate thyself, I pray thee, from me. If thou wilt take the left hand, then I will go to the right. Or if thou depart to the right hand, then I will go to the left. And Lot lifted up his eyes, and beheld all the plain of Jordan, that it was well watered everywhere before the Lord destroyed Sodom and Gomorrah, even as the garden of the Lord, like the land of Egypt, as thou comest unto Zoar. Then Lot chose them all the plain of Jordan, and Lot journeyed east, and they separated themselves the one from the other. Abram dwelled in the land of Canaan, and Lot dwelled in the cities of the plain, and pitched his tent towards Sodom. But the men of Sodom were wicked and sinners before the Lord exceedingly. And the Lord said unto Abram after that Lot was separated from him, Lift up now thine eyes, and look from the place where thou art, northward and southward, and eastward and westward. For all the land which thou seest, to thee will I give it, and to thy seed forever. And I will make thy seed as the dust of the earth, so that if a man can number the dust of the earth, then shall thy seed also be numbered. Arise, walk through the land in the length of it and in the breadth of it, for I will give it unto thee. And Abram removed his tent and came, and dwelt in the plain of Mamre, which is in Hebron, and built there an altar unto the Lord. Amen. We know the Lord will add his blessing to the reading of his precious word to our hearts. Let's just unite in a word of prayer. Our gracious and our loving God, we draw near to thee in our Saviour's name. We thank thee for thy mercies, and we thank thee for the fact that, Lord, when sometimes we're downcast, we can lift up our eyes. And we pray, Lord, that that encouragement might be our portion today. Lord, there are many things to discourage us, many things, O God, that have come across our pathway, even in the week that has gone into eternity, that might even discourage us and get us down. But, O God, we pray that we might lift up our eyes. Don't let the old devil come and distract us or discourage us or get us into a place of weariness. O God, may we be up and doing for thee in this day in which we live. For it's in Jesus' precious name I would ask these things. Amen. I want to take just a few words in the middle of verse 14 as the text today. We read the start of the verse. It says, And the Lord said unto Abram, after that Lot was separated from him, Lift up now thine eyes, and look from the place where thou art. Now the last time we looked at the story of Abram, we thought of the contrast between spiritual Abram and carnal Lot. We thought of how God had given prosperity to both Abram and Lot when they were in the place where God had told Abram to be. Such was their blessing that there was not enough room for the herds and the flocks that they had. And there was a strife between Abram's herdsmen and Lot's herdsmen. And in the end, there had to be a separation. Now, Abram was the elder, and he should have had the choice, but he graciously gave the choice to Lot as to where he would go. Look at verse 9. Abram said, "Is not the whole land before thee? Separate thyself, I pray thee, from me. If thou wilt take the left hand, then I will go to the right. Or if thou depart to the right hand, then I will go to the left." And we're told that when Lot was given this chance, he lifted up his eyes and he saw the well-watered plain of Jordan. And he thought to himself, well, this is a fertile plain. This is a wonderful place where I could have prosperity, where I could live and I could bring up my family. And we would have the best if we were dwelling down there in the plain. Of course, he forgot about the wickedness of the cities that were in the plain. Sodom and Gomorrah and the other cities of the plain. We're told in verse 13 of the chapter, "But the men of Sodom were wicked sinners, and sinners before the Lord exceedingly." And in Genesis 18 and verse 20 it says, "And the cry of Sodom and Gomorrah is great, because their sin is very grievous." So Lot forgot about that. He forgot about the spiritual aspect of his life. He forgot about the fact that he'd have to bring up his family down with all that influence around them. He was just looking at the prosperity, the material things were what were in his eye and were in his view. And we read that he went down, and first of all he pitches his tent towards Sodom, and then the next thing he's in Sodom, and then he's in the gate of Sodom. He's sucked in. How sin sucks us in. How sin has that propensity, and it has that characteristic about it that it brings us further than we want to go. But Abram is up in the mountain land. He's left, as it were, with the less favoured area. He is in the place where the land is not just so good, where it's a little bit more scrubby, not just as conducive to good herds and flocks. And maybe Abram is looking at the choice that has been made. He's watching Lot going down the road into the valley. He looks at the land around him, and maybe he's a little bit discouraged. But the Lord comes to Abram in that situation. And you look at what he says in verses 14 and 15. "And the Lord said unto Abram, after the Lot was separated from him, Lift up now thine eyes and look from the place where thou art, northward and southward, and eastward and westward. For all the land which thou seest, to thee will I give it, and to thy seed forever." Abram had chosen the place of separation from the world. And to outward appearances, it seemed as if he was going to miss out. To the outward appearance, it seemed as if he had the thin end of the bargain. But God said, "No, Abram," he says, "all the land that you see, not only the mountains, but the plains, and not only the plains, but the land beyond the plains, all this will I give you." And Abram, when he saw the spiritual reality, was encouraged. And I think as we stand on the brink of a new year, and as we start a new decade, or people have sort of disputed whether it's the start of a new decade or not. Maybe we have to wait for next year for the start of the new decade. I don't know. Whatever way you count it, it looks as if we're going into a new decade. But maybe you're saying to yourself, where do I go from here? Maybe you're standing at a crossroads in your life. Maybe the young people have choices about careers, college. Maybe some of the older people here, there's something in your life. There's going to be a crossroads. Something of a challenge this year. And maybe there are those of you that are downcast and discouraged. But the Lord says, "Lift up now thine eyes and look from the place where thou art." I think that's a wonderful message as we start a new year. And I thought that as we come, that there are wonderful things in this command that God meant for Abram. that will bless our hearts as well. So I want us to think about this command, to lift up our eyes. And I want us to think about what it meant for Abram and what it means for us, as God has us here at the start of 2010. And the first thing that I thought as we thought about that command to lift up now thine eyes, what did it mean to Abram? Well, I think first of all, it meant forget about the past. Forget the trials of the past. You see, obviously, when God said to Abram, lift up now thine eyes, it would seem that his face was downcast. He was looking down. He was perhaps depressed. No doubt the breakup with his nephew Lot was something that was saddening him. Lot was his very close nephew. He had left Ur of the Chaldees with him. And remember that Abram had no son of his own at this time. No doubt he treated Lot like his own son. And this nephew had been with him through thick and through thin and in very many circumstances. And no doubt it pained him to see Lot separating and see him going his way, his own way, down into the valley there. And that separation might have brought something of a sadness to his heart. And God comes at times to us in those sad times, in those times when we're downcast. Our eyes are downward. And maybe as you sit here in this January Sunday, you're filled with thoughts of the past. You're thinking about maybe the difficult things that have been dominating your life. Well, the message of God is here, lift up thine eyes and look from the place where thou art. Don't be caught up in what's happening. Don't be caught up in the past. But look out. Look to the future. Now, when Abram was commanded to lift up his eyes, I was just thinking about the thoughts that he might have had. And no doubt, one of the thoughts that he must have been having was one of disappointment. Perhaps the separation with Lot brought to his mind the other disappointments that had happened in his life. And you know, the herdsmen of Abram had striven as well. There had been two sides to this story. And there was disappointment. And maybe he thought back to all the way that he'd come. He'd had to bury his father in Haran. And then when he'd come into the land of promise, there had been a famine. Remember how he went down to Egypt and had lied about his wife in Egypt and said that she was his sister and had got into all sorts of bother. And Pharaoh had taken her into his harem and he had been cursed for Sarah and for Abram's sake. And then he had been banished, Abram had been banished from the land because Pharaoh found out the deceit that he had been perpetrating. And you think of all these failures. And Jacob, or rather Abram here, was filled with disappointment about the past. And you know, very often the devil brings to our minds the disappointments. We haven't been what we ought to have been. We have done those things that are wrong. And sometimes we get so overwhelmed with the disappointments and we're so taken up with ourselves that we can do nothing. And it becomes exaggerated in our mind. I'm reminded of Jacob. You know, when Joseph was down in the land of Egypt and he was the ruler, the second ruler in the kingdom. And when he was looking after things, remember the brothers went down to Joseph to get some corn in Egypt and they had come back. And Joseph had kept Simeon, and the brothers came, and they had found the money in the mouth of the sacks that they should have paid for the grain and so on. And they came back to Jacob, and they reported all that had happened in Egypt about these things. Simeon was taken, and here was the money in the mouth of their sacks, and it looked as if they hadn't paid for it. And Jacob said, "Me, have ye bereaved of my children? Joseph is not, and Simeon is not, and ye will take Benjamin away. All these things are against me." He said, "Life's against me." Now, he didn't know that God was overruling the circumstances. He didn't know that God was going to protect them and provide for them in a day of famine. He didn't know that God was doing all these things. And you know, in the sense, in our times of disappointment, We can get weary with ourselves and discouraged with ourselves. But maybe today, as we come to the start of the new year, God says to you, child of God, lift up your eyes. Lift up your eyes. Look from the place where you are. Not only would Abram's mind have been filled with disappointment, but he was filled with the discord. You know, he had been struggling with Lot. He had been striving with Lot. And there had been that family breakup. There was that jealousy that had entered in between them. And there was a selfishness as well that had entered in. Maybe as you look past into the year, it's been blighted in some way by discord, by disharmony. Maybe discord in the family, of course, is a hard thing to bear. Maybe a disagreement with a friend or somebody in the church. You know, sin always brings tears. And there may be some discord that I'm not aware of. But you know, the Lord says, lift up now thine eyes. Look from the place where you are. Not only was there disappointment and discord, there was disillusionment. Disillusioned with himself. Disappointment with himself. God says, lift up your eyes, Abram. Thank God we have a merciful God. You know, God could have come to Abram and said to him, you know, you're as much guilty as Lot. You've been striving. Your herdsmen have been involved in this as much as Lot's herdsmen have. But God says, no, Abram, lift up your eyes. Aren't we glad we have a merciful God? Maybe you are disappointed with yourself. Maybe you're disillusioned with the path that you've been taking in 2009 and the year that has passed. But here's a God that's ready to receive you. You know, Paul said in Philippians 3 verses 13 and 14, brethren, I count not myself to have apprehended, but this one thing I do, forgetting those things that are past, are behind rather, and reaching forth unto the things which are before, I press toward the mark for the prize of the high calling of God, which is in Christ Jesus. He was looking, he is lifting his eyes. He wasn't looking at himself, he was looking to Christ. And that's what I say to you this year, look to the Savior. Don't be looking, you'll be disappointed in yourself. But look to the Savior. He is the Holy One. He is the Righteous One. He is able to bring us through this year. So he was to forget about the trials of the past and the troubles of the past. But then he was to lift up his eyes and he was to do something else. He was to face the test of the present. You see, there was a sense in which Abram could do nothing about the past, and neither can we. It's a closed chapter. The real challenge is what you do today and what you do tomorrow. The decade is closed. If you count 2010 as being the start of a decade, the decade is closed. The year is closed. 2009's gone. But the Lord says, now lift up your eyes and look. There's a new year coming. Now, God was shaking Abram out of his reverie here and out of his dreamland. And you notice what God told Abram to do. Notice what he was to do. It was a very simple thing. All he had to do was lift up his eyes. Now, he'd been looking down into the valley, perhaps, and watching Lot, as he made his way down from the place. Or maybe, as we say, he'd been looking at the land. Maybe his eyes were on the earth and he was inspecting the land that he was left with. But whatever he was doing, he had an earthly vision. His sight was filled with the mundane. His sight was filled with the things around. And the Lord wanted to have a brighter vision, a new vision. And that's what the Lord wants for us this year. As this church, as this congregation, he wants to give us a new vision. That's what we need. We need a new vision. a new vision of those that are around about us, a new vision of those that are perishing, going down to a Christless eternity. He wants us to get a new vision of the cross, a new vision of our Saviour. He wants us to have a bigger vision, a vision of spiritual realities. We can be so caught up with the mundane and the day by day that we forget that there are spiritual realities. There is a God who can give us far more exceeding abundantly than ever we can ask or think. Here's Abram, and he's looking at the land. Is this what I'm left with? And God comes and says, no, Abram, lift up your eyes and see. Look northward and southward and eastward and westward. All this I can give you. We need to have a vision of our God, the God who is sovereign. We look at our loved ones, our friends. We look at the land around us. We look at our neighborhood and we say it's a hard place. Nobody's interested. And sometimes we forget that we have a God in heaven who is able to do exceeding abundantly above all that we can ask or think. Hebrews 12:2, where it urges us to look unto Jesus, the author and finisher of our faith. Lift up now thine eyes. That's what he was to do. But look at where he was to do it. Lift up now thine eyes and look from the place where thou art. Where you are. Where you are. Now there are many people and they're saying, well, I could do something for God if the children were out of their house. When the children are gone. I could do something for God if I had a bit more training. I could do something for God if I was to train myself in the scriptures. I could do something for God if I get a little bit more fully qualified or something else. There's some more money or this project is out of the way that I'm doing at the present time or things are a wee bit more stable in the workplace. Whatever it is, I could do something for God if. No, God says, lift up your eyes from the place where you are. You know, we say to the unsaved, you don't need to get yourself all trigged up and you need to, you don't need to get your life straightened out before you come to Christ. Come as you are. And yet so many of God's people, they're waiting for some other day or something else to happen or something to be around the corner, some new talent or some new ability. God has given the ability that you have and maybe you're not using the ability to the full. No, lift up your eyes from the place where you are. We are in Cross Gar. This is our corner of the vineyard. We lift up our eyes here. God wants us to lift up our eyes where we are. From the place where you are. You might be in a difficult place. You might be in a very dark place. But lift up your eyes. Even in the darkest place, you can see the stars. If you lift up your eyes. Not only do we see what he was to do and where he was to do it, but look at when he was to do it. It says, lift up now thine eyes. Don't wait until next week. Don't be waiting until next year. Lift up now thine eyes. I heard a very wise saying, and it was this, and I quote, the tragedy of life is not that it ends so soon, but that we wait so long to begin it. Isn't that true? We wait so long to begin what we ought to do. A father asked his little girl what was the biggest problem between fathers and their daughters. And the little girl wisely said, the biggest problem between fathers and their daughters is tomorrow. Tomorrow I'll play. Tomorrow I'll take you to the park. Always waiting till tomorrow. But God says,
Lift up now thine eyes.
So he was to fulfill, face the test of the present. But then the third thing that Abram was to do as he lifted up his eyes was to fulfill the truth of the promise. Because God gave a promise. He said to Abram, lift up thine eyes and look from the place where thou art, northward and southward and eastward and westward. For all the land which thou seest, to thee will I give it, and to thy seed forever. Now, Abram, God wanted Abram to see the mighty riches that he'd given. But I want you to notice the promise that Abram was given here. It was a promise of fuller blessing. Now, you'll notice, or remember perhaps, that God had already given Abram a promise. If you turn over back, or turn back to Genesis chapter 12, verses 1 to 3, it says, now the Lord had said unto Abram, in other words, he had said it in Ur of the Chaldees, get thee out of the country, and from thy kindred, and from thy father's house, unto a land that I will show thee. And I will make of thee a great nation, and I will bless thee, and make thy name great, and thou shalt be a blessing. And I will bless them that bless thee, and curse him that curseth thee. And in thee shall all the families of the earth be blessed. Now, Abram had come to the Canaan, had come to the land of promise. On the strength of that, God said, I'll show you a land. Now, what is God saying? I'll give you the land. I'll give you the land. You know, the promises of God are so often like that. God brings us a certain step and then he widens the blessing. You know, if God says, I'll bless you in this. If you do this, you do that. God widens the blessing. God said, I'll show you the land. And when Abram gets there, God says, I give you the land. And God was the revealer of the blessings that he, and God had a fuller blessing for Abram here. Not only was it a fuller blessing, but it was a faith blessing. And I mean by that, I'm just keeping with the S, but I mean by that is that he had to take it by faith. Because look at Genesis chapter 15 and verse 18 and down to verse 21. This is part of the covenant, and it says, in the same day the Lord made a covenant with Abram, saying, unto thy seed have I given this land, from the river of Egypt unto the great river, the river Euphrates, the Kenites and the Kenizzite and the Kadmonites and the Hittites and the Perizzites and the Rephaims and the Amorites and the Canaanites and the Girgashites and the Jebusites. So the promise of the land became part of the covenant promise. Now, perhaps you will know, but I'm telling you anyway, that Abram, personally, never possessed all that land. He, personally, never possessed all the land of the Canaanites and the Kenizzites and the Kadmonites and so on. So was God faithless? Did God go back on his promise? Did God fail in giving the promise? No, he didn't. Because there was a fuller fulfillment in the promise. And the promise ultimately was fulfilled in the Lord Jesus Christ. And also, I believe in the day to come that there will be the time when Abram's seed will possess the land. But if you look in Genesis chapter 13, verse 17, and this is what I'm coming to. Abram was told, arise, walk through the land in the length of it and in the breadth of it, for I will give it unto thee. Now, this was the way the people possessed the covenant promises that they were given. If a covenant was made, if a person was to possess the land, they walked the land. We have another example of it over in Joshua chapter 1 in verses 3 and 4, where God said to Joshua, every place that the sole of your foot shall tread upon, that have I given unto you, as I said unto Moses, from the wilderness and this Lebanon, even unto the great river, the river Euphrates, all the land of the Hittites, and unto the great sea, toward the going down of the sun, shall be your coast. So all the place that your foot treads upon, to thee will I give it, And here's Abram. God says to him, walk through the land. Possess the land. So Abram had to go by faith, and it looked as if there was no chance that he would have this land. And through his life, it seemed that there was no chance that he would have the land. But he possessed it by faith. He took God at his word. He believed that God, what God had promised, he would give. We have many, many promises in God's word that God wants us to possess. That God wants us to take hold of. Here's a man who was willing to do what God told him to do. And that, of course, is always the characteristic of a person that God can use. I came across an article by R.A. Torrey during the week, and it was entitled, Why God Used D.L. Moody. D.L. Moody, of course, was the great American evangelist. He had been a shoe salesman and was saved, never had really much schooling, and throughout his life, really, it showed in his speech. He was quite ungrammatical at times and very rough in the way that he spoke. But God doesn't look for grammar, and he's not looking for schooling. He's looking for somebody that's dedicated. And this is what R.A. Torrey said about D.L. Moody, why God used D.L. Moody. And this is what he said, and I quote, the first thing that accounts for God's using D.L. Moody so mightily was that he was a fully surrendered man. Every ounce of that 280-pound body of his belonged to God. Everything he was, everything he had, belonged wholly to God. And when he went on, and then he went on to show what he meant by that, and he said, and I quote again, the first month I was in Chicago, we were having a talk about something upon which we very widely differed. And Mr. Moody turned to me very frankly and very kindly, and he said in defense of his own position, Torrey, if I believed that God wanted me to jump out of that window, I would jump. Here was a man who was wholly dedicated to God. We quoted that saying of his last time. He said, this world is still looking and waiting for a man who's wholly consecrated to God. And what God could do with such a man. And D.L. Moody said, I want to be that man. And you know, we need that complete consecration. We want to do what God wants us to do. We need to do what God wants us to do. Not only was it a fuller blessing and a faith blessing appropriated by faith, but it was a forever blessing. God said, for all the land which thou seest to thee will I give it, and to thy seed forever. The blessing of the Lord doesn't last for a moment or for a year or for a few days. The blessing of the Lord lasts for all eternity. That's why we need God's blessing. That's why we need God's help upon our lives. Unsaved person, you need God's blessing, because it's the only forever blessing. Adoniram Judson, the missionary, said this. He said, a life once spent is irrevocable. It will remain to be contemplated through eternity. He meant by that what you do in this life, what is done, can't be taken back, can't be lived over again. That's why we need to live every day for God. That's why we need to give ourselves wholly to God. And surely God would say to us today, lift up your eyes. Don't be looking at the things of this life. Now, we need to look at them, I suppose, to some extent, but we need to be a people whose eyes are heavenward, don't we? We need to be a people whose eyes are directed upwards rather than fixed upon ourselves and our enjoyments and our what we do day by day. So many of God's people, that's their focus. Oh, my enjoyment and where I can go and what I can do. No, lift up your eyes and look up from the place where you are and look up now. Is God speaking to your heart now? Let's live this life with a new vision as we enter into 2010. May God write his word upon our hearts for his name's sake. Let's just bow in a word of prayer.